Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
You can hear me now. Praise God. I love those verses because they are, in fact, a promise from the Lord to us. How many know that the Lord is a promise keeper? So whatever we need, that's the confidence that we had. We've been looking at this this whole year, that 2016 is the year of grace and mercy. 2016, the bottom line is, and I've been banging on this thing for enough time now, you got to be able to repeat it or dream about it, that God needs you. Amen? I don't know why he chose us, but he did. I tell everybody, say it again, if you wake up in the morning, you reach down and grab a hold of yourself, and if you're still here, that means something else that God has for you. And ministry for God needs us. And in the midst of the situations where we're going through, the Lord is preparing to equip us for his unfolding plan of revival. The darkest days is where God sheds the brightest light. I found out that, I think I mentioned it, that now in our schools, there's a proposal, they're going to remove from the bathroom the names of boys and girls. And I mean, so that there's, I guess, welcome. Put a welcome sign on. It's just amazing. But as I said, God knows the end from the beginning. And you know what they're also doing, and the kids might really like that, they're getting rid of homework. Getting rid of homework. Now, that sounds good, right? It's not good. But they want to, you know, it's like I guess when you graduate, you sort of get a participation trophy, right? Well, just you showed up, so we'll give you a trophy. We're not in Kansas anymore, folks. And we recognize that the Bible says that we are to encourage one another when it's the darkest. Because we, in fact, that's what I like to do, encourage you. And it's a wonderful thing to be a shepherd of people who love the Lord. But I know what it's like out there. And my gracious, sometimes I want to walk around like this from all the things where, I mean, it's challenging. It really is challenging. But I thank the Lord that he's got everything under control. That's a good time to say amen, which means I agree with you. We've been looking at how to release the anointing through your life. That's the empowering of God that you have within you. Because you're a Christian and you've accepted Jesus Christ, we said that you have a calling, you have a ministry, and you have a destiny. And I'm gonna keep saying that until we all get it. As a Christian, you have a calling on your life. You have a ministry. It's okay, I can handle it, unless you want to up there, Pat's up there, but you do whatever you want to do. I can handle it. I have little ones. We have the kids, grandkids this week, and I'll tell you, my. I don't know how you ladies do it, but oh, it's just, and then this morning we had two, and I had to help one get dressed, and it's just like, I don't know how you moms do it, and but that's what the good thing about grandchildren. You get to send them home. That's not what I want. I want them to stay as long as they want to. And they're just a joy. I had said that people were telling me, you just wait till you have grandchildren. You just wait. And I said, okay, I'll wait. And then something happened to me. I got waylaid by a little boy that came up to me and looked at me and said, Dad, I love you. And from that point on, I'm dead. I'm done. Done in the water. And every one of them is just, well, you grand folks, you know what I'm talking about. But you have that calling in your life. You also have a ministry. It's not about getting to heaven. You hear what I'm saying? You have to understand that, and those listening online, it's not about getting to heaven. Christianity is not a destination, it's a way of getting there. And the Lord wants us to be filled with joy and happiness because he said, I know the end from the beginning. And the challenges and the things that we have in life are there to show us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now, this is not a rah-rah meeting. I'm not here just to make you feel good, because, as you know, sometimes we can tweak it a little bit. I told the Lord when out of the business world, and we were, some of you know, doing very, very well. One of my objectives was to retire when I was 25, and I almost made it, because the Lord interrupted it. And he says, I've got things for you to do. And I said, let's do it, from my background. And then he handed me a contract. Thank you. He handed me a contract, and he says, I want you to sign it. Now, this is all in the spirit, right? He didn't come down and hand me. I felt in my spirit, he says, I want you to sign the contract. And I said, you know, I'm one of those, I mean, I was a Catholic background. I was a daily communicant. I wanted the Lord. I was brought up. I was a card-carrying Roman Catholic. He said, I want you to sign it. And I said to him, I said, Lord, I know he taught me, like I've been teaching you, that he's smarter than we are, right? How many people believe that God is smarter than we are? Well, most of you. Have I got a deal for you? Or you got a deal for yourself? It's amazing. When you stop arguing with God and let God, let go and let God, things change. He said, sign the contract. And I said, okay. And then I looked at the contract and I said, there's nothing on it. He said, I'll fill that in later. And I said to him, all right. Because I know I wouldn't have signed it if I knew then what I know now. At least through some of the stages, I would have signed it. No sweat with that. But I said to him, Lord, if there is a better way, I'll take this on. This is before he called me into the ministry. He said, I'm going to take it on, and I'm going to give it. A lot of you are here the same way. If you're going to do something, I do it 100%. No use playing games. But if I find something better, I'm going with it. And he said, I'll take you up on that. Well, 30 years later, I'm still infatuated with the Lord. I'm still finding revelation about him that is absolutely the most incredible approach to life that anyone could have. And a lot of people say, you're supposed to say that because you're a pastor. Well, most of you know me. I don't play games, and I like to tell it like it is. And if it were not, if I was trying to just pull the wool over your eyes, sheeps, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. What I am saying, I am confident in, and the reason why I'm confident is because it's the Word of God, and he has to back it up, right? So when I share the Word of God, when I said that God wants us to be filled with encouragement, he wants us to look at with expectancy his provision. How many people have found that God is faithful? It is absolutely the truth. How many know people, you're gonna face some challenges next week, right? How many people know that it said hallelujah? That means praise God. I'm looking forward to the challenges. You don't need to say that, but they're going to come anyway. How you approach those challenges is up to you. And I know, and that's why we developed that story. There's a pony in there. And I think what we'll do is have a printout and say, there, just look at the printout. There's a pony in there. That means we keep digging through the fertilizer until we find the pony. Fertilizer helps things grow, right? I've got a whole stack of someone gave to me, and it says, Celebration Community Church, fertilizer happened. Come follow us, and we'll help you to grow. And I was thinking about handing them out, but I wouldn't put a bumper sticker that says fertilizer happens, but it does, and we know it. So with that, I can say with 100% confidence that what we're saying, what God says in His Word, is not just rah-rah to make us feel good. It's the way that God says, I have come that you may have life. That doesn't mean just a pulse. I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundant. In this world you will have fertilizer, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And if you can approach life like that, it's a whole lot better than these self-help books by trying to raise your expectations or your emotions or whatever it might be, and just go stand in the mirror and just rah-rah yourself. Because if you want to be the source, if you want to be the source of your joy, I'll tell you something, that you're in trouble. We cannot provide for the things that we are unable to provide for. We don't know about the future, but God does. But God does. And you have a ministry that means you are to be used by God. You know, I'm not, for those who heard, let me say it again, for those who haven't, hear this. I'm not the minister. They call me the minister, but I'm not the minister. I'm the teacher. You are to do the work of the ministry. So you're the ministers. You come here, we run you through the sheep dip, give you some information that will encourage you, teach you how to minister. Then you go out in the world and you love people in Jesus' name. And you do it with a smile on your face when everybody else is trying to figure out how in heaven's name are they going to make it. Nobody's seen the trouble I've seen. And people walk around in doom and gloom. And that's sad. Even Christians walking around fearful and full of anxiousness and all these kinds of things about what's liable to happen. I tell you, it's not easy. I mean, it's impossible to look at society today without the empowering of God and the understanding to try to find something that's positive about life. When you look at the changes, the morality things, the Bible says in the end days, it's going to get dark. It's going to get dark. But be of good cheer. You're the light. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you now. And I don't care if it's lumens or watts or whatever it might be. We don't need any power savers. Amen. And then you have a destiny. That's what you've been created for. That's will bring you the most joy in the world. God, when he created you, he said, I know everything about you. I know the challenges that you're going to have. I know the gifts and the callings that I've given to you. And I have a plan for your life. And a lot of people think you flip coins to find out, well, do we buy the house or not? Let's go check the tea leaves. People make decisions by going to horoscopes. What's your sign? I said, Jesus. The cross is my sign. What's your sign? Well, I just found out from NASA that that they changed. They changed. They're off on whatever they do in the stars and stuff like that to come up with the horoscopes. So you're not what you thought you were. You're the next one. And I don't even know what that is. But they told me I was a Virgo, and I said, well. So I went, I'm going to read my horoscope, and I'm going to find out that I should not talk to anyone today or not make any wise decisions. Don't spend any money today. Who writes this stuff? But let me ask you this. How many people can imagine believe in it? You have a destiny. The Bible says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither can the mind imagine the things that God has for us who are called according to His purpose. Only we can mess up our lives. Isn't that wonderful? God says, these are the plans that I have for you, if you will allow me. And how many people found that it's a lot easier to go with the flow, right? Right. We've looked, now I'm going to speed up, okay? We've looked at how to release the anointing and minister to others. Refresher, because we've been dealing with a couple other things in the last couple of weeks. How to stop robbery in your life. How to deal with the powers of the enemy. And I said, and for those that are listening, the Lord talked more about the devil than He did about heaven. We are not to be ignorant of His devices. And I'm going to show you some things coming up. How to deal with it in other people's lives and others, and also within yourself. How to deal with the attacks of the enemy. We've been looking at our new, on preparing the church for releasing the dynamic of the Holy Spirit in this upcoming season. As I said, 2016 is the year of grace and mercy. We continue on in our focus now, the power of grace for ministry. That's a very important word, grace, that we've been looking at. I said that it's very important that you will never be able to function in the fullness of your giftings and of your ministry, whether that you'll never be able to function to the fullness of your anointing without the understanding of God's grace. Very, very important. The understanding of God's grace enables the Holy Spirit to release to us, through us, the full potential. And I told you the story when the Lord shared with me about what grace was. I finally laid aside my feelings of inadequacy. I've taught on it for 20 years. And then the revelation came about what grace really is. And it's no longer doing a bunch of religious exercises. It's no longer trying to prove to ourselves that God is worthy, that we are worthy of God's love. It's no longer trying to reach a proverbial carrot that we'll never be able to reach. Grace cuts the rod out and says, here's the carrot. Somebody say amen, or I'm going to feel very insecure again. So we've been looking at that whole process. Grace, we used to say it was unmerited favor, but as you remember, living in God, grace means the awareness that the Lord is with us, that we have access to God, that we've been forgiven our sins. We're no longer bound by works, no longer neutralized by our failures. And as I said, it also defeats the powers of the enemy. All these things are on previous messages. I just want to get us up to speed here. Understanding grace is a key to the Lord's provision. The purpose of receiving God's grace is releasing God's grace. And we went on that whole understanding that God doesn't give us something to keep for ourselves. He's got one of those incredible, mind-blowing, idioms that says, give and you shall receive. That doesn't make sense. Love those who persecute you. All this stuff that just, it's upside down. Jesus didn't come to turn the world upside down. He came to turn the world right side up. What a understanding of that. We said that grace was a new covenant, and this is what grace is. Listen to this. The unmerited, undeserved, unearned gift of God's favors and blessing, released through the completed sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Unmerited, undeserved, un-all. And then released through the Christian continued ministry through Jesus Christ. We looked at speaking grace, which is the most powerful thing. I spent a long time on that. When grace is released, grace releases. One of the key purposes is that the Word of God is to be proclaimed. Grace to you and grace through you. A key to releasing grace is speaking, because what it does is releases God. Jesus didn't think about creating the world. He spoke it into existence. When you speak, a particular situation, Lord, I declare that this marriage will not be robbed. I declare that this business will not go under. I declare that my children and my grandchildren are watched over by you and they shall be safe. That declaration releases God. The most powerful thing that you have is two coming agree, touching anything, which means literally speaking out the word of God. Husbands and wives, agree together for what God wants for you and your children, for your marriage, for your finances. Take your children. I told you last week, you want to get your prayers answered real quick, grab a little one. Say, pray for me. If I go on, I'll be here for a week. So anyway, they believe this stuff. There's no question in their mind. Jesus, yes. Did Jesus say that he wants to heal us from our sicknesses? And yes, he did. I said, then pray for your brother, one with a running down his nose. Jesus, heal Lukey in Jesus' name. Amen. Done deal, folks. If anyone comes to me as a child, without doubt, I guarantee you that Caden does not have any doubt about whether or not God is faithful. Only we intelligent ones. Only we who are smart. The smarter we get, the stupider we get, right? Stuck on stupid, I like to say. Speaking grace in your situation. Then we looked at the importance of speaking grace, and we went through what it does. It acknowledges our dependency upon God, neutralizes the enemy, releases the kingdom of God. And remember, we did a whole message on this, activates faith. And then I said last week, it releases breakthrough. By speaking grace, it releases breakthrough. Breakthrough is what you need in a log jam situation. How many people have run into log jams sometimes? Where the more you do, the behinder you get. Speaking grace into that situation. Jesus said, and I didn't make this up, as I said. He says, whoever speaks to that mountain, let it be removed. It shall be done for those who believe. That mountain represents anything that's keeping you from moving forward. And I say that grace releases breakthrough. If you can believe, it says everything is possible. Everything is possible to you. In order to release breakthrough, you have to receive the power of God. Now you start taking notes. In order to see breakthrough released, you have to live in the power of God. This is another very important word. One of the most effective tools of the enemy is a powerless Christian and a powerless church. I'm going to share some things with you, and just like I said on the previous message, previous things this morning, that God has spoken, that you have been given this also. Let me share some things with you. We saw that the power of God in releasing, in orders for us to release breakthrough, we must receive and live in the power of God. The Lord did not intend us to be normal. You're not supposed to be like the world. And yet it seems like all we try to do is to fit in, right? Scripture says that we are peculiar people. That means we're weird. No, they're weird. We're normal. Just keep telling yourself that. He wants us to live dynamically, I said, to deal with life's situation with a conviction of overcoming. You get up in the morning and said, I've got a challenge, this, but I know we're going to overcome this thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live like that? I know. The Bible says, you bring it back to the Lord. Lord, you said that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I'm claiming that in Jesus' name. And if you've got a challenging situation, if you look at that challenging situation from that perspective, it changes. Or I should say it this way, nothing's different, but everything changes. Someone was sharing with me this, even this morning, about someone in their department that they work with who is one of those kinds of people. Just everything challenging. And she said, I had a miracle this week. And I said, what? Tell me. She said, that challenging person, I prayed for them. And then it turned around. And I said, go figure. And the challenging situations that we face, imagine if you would have, that person and you, because it's all common stuff here. Imagine if you would have allowed that person to continue to frustrate you, to rob you every day that you go to work. You allow that robbery to go on. What kind of life is that? So often, the person that you're having the greatest challenge with is God's gift to you. No looking around. That person is the one that God says, I'm going to teach you who you are, and I've placed this gift in your life to help you with the process. How many would like to have it another way? How many people have ever prayed for patience? Don't do that. We need to have it, of course. But how do you learn patience? You can't read a book, can't take a pill. The only way that you learn patience is that you get to practice it. God puts those very special people in your life to answer your prayers. Isn't that wonderful? So you begin to look at that person a different way. And you start praying for them instead of allowing them to rob your day. There are those kinds of people, as I said. You're not going to get away from them. They're there. And when you start saying, thank you, God. Thank you. You may have to say, thank you, God. Then, oh, I just thank you, God. There are people like that. And then all of a sudden, I tell you, the key is to know that people like that are hurting. People like that are hurting. There's something wrong with someone who lives in negativity, who lives in vengeance, who lives in whatever that might be. There's something wrong with that. And he asked the Lord, put in my heart a love for them. Put in my heart a love for them. Let me see that person, and this is ministry. Let me see that person through your eyes. Somebody might be saying that about you. And all of a sudden, things begin to change. And they become a mission field for you. Let me tell you, God reveals himself through those people and those situations in time. Not just to make it through, but to abound in life, to experience the challenges, God's power. John 1:12 says, for those who received him and put their trust in his name, he gave them power to become children of God. Everybody say power. He gave them power to become children of God. The word power literally means the ability to do something you can't do. We can't be children of God no matter what we do. But he gives us the ability to be children of God. Isn't that neat? He's not only calling us to a particular, to a higher calling, he's also, I'm going to give you the tools to be able to get there. I'm going to give you the keys to be able to accomplish the task that will make you the happiest person because it's part of your destiny, and I'm going to give you the ability to be able to do it. What? Hey, bring it on. But there's people who have lost their keys. Or they got their keys in their pocket and they can't figure out why they can't get in the car. Can't get in the car. Can't use your keys. I can't get in this car and I don't know what to do about it. Use your keys. I can't deal with that. Use your keys. It's amazing. Open the door. Wow, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I pray for that person instead of trying to allow them to ruin my day? Use your keys. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us, power that works within us. Jesus said, you will receive power to reveal me. To release the power is revelation of Jesus. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. For I am not ashamed of this work, Paul says to the Romans. This good news about Christ, it is the power at work saving everyone who believes. The power is abundantly available to every spirit-filled Christian. Miracles and signs and wonders are supposed to be a part of us on a regular basis. Uh-oh, now we're getting into the woo-woo. Oh, we don't want to talk about miracles. That's Pastor just stepped over the line. Get into this emotional kind of stuff and get miracles. I didn't say it, folks. God said it. Greater things will you do. What do you think you're down here for, folks? Just down here sucking up air. What is it that we're down here? What have we received Christ for? What's the purpose of this? To be Jesus. And I've said it before, and you've heard it many, many times. If you haven't, listen. You may be the only Jesus that people see. Or the only Bible that people will read. And Jesus said, I'll give you the ability to be able to do the situation. So when we go to work, we're Jesus. When we go wherever we go, we have the same thing that Jesus, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave within us. Amen. And I expect people to see Jesus. Jesus. That's why I told you when people ask me, what do you do? I'm not telling you. Or I say I'm in real estate. I'm in real estate. I'm selling plots in heaven. For nothing except everything that you have. But no cost. It cost him. It's already been paid for. I told you why I don't tell people who I what I do. Because people get weird. They start, oh, pastor, start talking in some kind of language that, oh, yes, I go to church. Or, you went to church once. Or, yes, I just, and I well, they even stop swearing. Go figure. But if you see yourself that way, if you see yourself walking into the, you're a minister. Try it one time. Just say, what do you do for a living? I'm a minister. What's what they do? Start acting weird. Try it. At least one time. Have fun with it. Signs and wonders. Unless we lay hold of this provision, we will never fully receive that which the Lord has for us and through us. Much of a breakthrough only comes through power encounters. Paul, when he addressed the Corinthian church, he said, I didn't come with eloquent words, but a demonstration of God's power. Jesus says that you have the ability to be able to pray for someone and he'll back it up. You have the ability to be able to speak life to a situation that's dying and he'll back it up. And the wonderful thing also about this whole process, you know that Jesus didn't come preaching to someone first. In the end days, it says, when it gets dark, and I told you why, for some people, you see that there is the end times, the whole, every nation of the world is going to turn against Israel. The United States would never do that except now. The Bible says, when you see this, the time is getting close. I don't know what close means, but I do know that in that period of time, there's going to be release of the provision of God for the church to be examples, to have marriages that are absolutely, that glow in the dark, that have relationships that are bound together where there's no insecurity among them. People who are walking in fear, which is absolutely everybody is bound by that. Not the Christian. I don't fear tomorrow because God did not give me the spirit of fear. And he didn't give you the spirit of fear either. So every time you feel fear, every time that you feel fear, say that five times quickly, feel fear, it's the enemy. And he is a liar and a thief, and he will do everything. He wants you to act on that. And God says, I want you to tell them, hell no. I like to say that. Hell no. Heaven, yes. I will not allow you to take away my joy because God doesn't give me fear. And it's just like patience. The more you say, hell no, and heaven, yes, the stronger you will get. And then eventually he stops messing with you. Calls a bigger buddy. You get to sharpen your sword on that. Now I'm going to get through this. Everybody say, I believe you, Pastor. The key objective is to neutralize the power of God. The purpose of it is by neutralizing the power, it limits our effectiveness and robs our witness. By removing our power, we present a powerless Jesus to the world. Definition I didn't have you write this, but let me just give you the definition of power. Ability to act, to do or act. Capability of accomplishing something. A person or a thing that possesses or exercises authority or influence. The ability or capacity to perform or act effectively. Strength, force, and energy. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the results very quickly. Everybody say very quickly. We're going to close in about 45 minutes or so. Be still my heart. Let's look at the results of power robbery. Don't worry. Have fun. Do whatever your mom and dad allows you to do. Let's look at the things, if you are encountering this, where power that has been given to you has been robbed. This is the work of the enemy, to ground your battery. Fear, worry. What are power robbers? Fear, worry. The Bible says Jesus said to us, you're not supposed to worry unless you want to. How many people said, I just as soon as worry? I'm going to worry about this for a week or two, and I'm going to wear myself out, and then exhaustively, I will ask the Lord to help me. Jesus says, do not worry. But Jesus, you're in heaven, I'm down here on earth. He said, I've given you the power. I will give you. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. I don't want to worry about this. He says, good. He says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I promise you, it gets easier. It gets easier, not harder. Stress, unbelief. I don't think that God can do this. Or I know He can, but I'm not sure He will. Faithlessness, bondage, loss of vision. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. All I'm doing is I'm making widgets. That's all I know. I'm going to go down and make a widget today. Just a widget maker. What else? I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, have you asked God? Whatever. I mean, whatever is not an answer. It's a cop-out. Loss of vision. A loss of hope. I see so many people who have lost hope. It's never going to change. Our marriage is never going to get better. Our relationship is never going to get better. My kids are going to know, they're going to always be that way. Or my husband or I'm going to always be that way. What you're doing is you're prophesying over yourself with the same words that you can speak life to yourself or to your family or to your husband or whatever it might be. Instead of speaking life to it, what you're doing is you're speaking death to it. Amen or oh me? I'll never be any good. Shame on you. God don't make no junk. Loss of relationship and a loss of destiny. I don't know. Those, if you're playing around with any of those things, what you're doing is you're having your battery grounded. And there's nothing worse than a battery that doesn't have any power in it. It's a boat anchor. And with this we close. Reasons why we need God's power. Have to put it on a positive, folks. It defeats the power of the enemy. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. Devil, you're not allowed to do this to my family, to this job, to my kids. You have greater power than the enemy. It sets those who are in bondage free. That's what Jesus did. He took people who were in bondage and He released them. Jesus, I pray for this particular person. She's caught up in this, or he's on drugs, or whatever it might be. Bondage. Fear is bondage. We have the ability to say, I speak release to you. And you may not say it out loud, but I tell you, when you hear something on the radio or the television or internet that's not of God, speak to it. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I will not accept that for this nation. Crazy people talking to a computer. Well, you talk to it anyway. Look at this stupid thing. Will you hurry up? Speak life to it. I'm almost finished. To provide a place where God can move. Power of God changes circumstances. What you need to do is show up so that God can show up. Because when God shows up, everything changes. That's what he does. So I'm not going to allow the enemy or anyone else to define this situation, because when God gets down here, everything's going to be different. It's not over till God says it's over. Establishes the kingdom of God. You have been given the ability to bring heaven down here on earth. Required for a Christian life. And then it brings glory to God. When he sees you moving in his power, it pops his buttons. He loves it. Luke 4, 18, 19 says this. Put your name in this. The Spirit of the Lord is on you because he has anointed you to declare good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim freedom for those who were in prison and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. Let me tell you, Sam, I've got good news for you. Oh, yeah? How many people? You want to hear some good news? Yeah, I want to hear. I want to know. I was praying for you today, and the Lord told me to come up and tell you that he loves you. Now, they may fall down and faint or run like you're some kind of weirdo, but if you have been showing yourself to them, then it's amazing how many people will be open and receptive. Try it. You'll like it. The next time we're going to show how to release that power through your life. But what I want to do as we close today, our message and our ministry is grace. And it's amazing. You have the grace of God in your life. And if you want more, John, we ready? If we want more, we got to change the cable here. How many people are encouraged this morning? I'll follow you home. Because that's exactly what the Lord wants us to be. He wants you going out there like the Marines. They really think they can do that stuff. They've been taught to believe that they can do the stuff that they've been taught to do. You get around a Marine, hooah, and all that, esprit de corps. I don't, 5'3" guy, think that he can bring it on. They believe that they can do that. And that's what the Lord wants from us. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And I want to close with, let's give Sean a hand. The power of the ministry is not in the pastor or the preacher. It's in the sound man. He's the one that controls everything. And we like to run him around a lot and stuff, but appreciate that gift of ministry that God has given to him for all these years. And thank the Lord that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I want you to stand with us. I want you to listen to this song, and then we're going to close. And then we're closing. All right? Turn to somebody and say, he's been talking about me this whole time. He's been talking to me about this whole time. I want you to listen to this song. Again, let the words get into you. And then I want you to go out there after I pray for you at the end, and be like a Marine. Believe we can do this stuff. All right, Sean? Let's go ahead.
It's the light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty, and you've got no way.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. That's what the Lord sees with us. It was a black picture, but God's grace painted it all white. That's who we are. Take your neighbor's hand. Let's agree together. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I pray that they would walk and live in that grace, that amazing grace that you have for them. I pray for health. I pray for peace. I pray for protection. And I pray, Father, that they will see themselves as your instruments to touch those people that you put in their sphere of influence. We claim that together in Jesus' name. Now let your hands go. Lift your hands before the Lord. That's basically the posture of receptivity. Lord, we're here to receive all that you have this next week, this month of October. We believe in walking in that provision and that amazing grace. And we thank you that all needs are met according to your riches and glory. I release healing. I release protection. I release your presence. I release you, Jesus, releasing your power through us. We claim that together. Receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord another praise. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.